It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This weekend, the Pittsburgh Pride Festival is expected to generate huge revenue for the city and bring thousands of individuals and families to Liberty Avenue. The parade and concerts at Pride Fest have become mainstream collaborations with city groups like Visit Pittsburgh and major sponsorship. Pittsburgh Pride's website quotes Richard Florida in his best-selling book on economic growth, The Rise of the Creative Class, as saying, quote, "The most successful regions welcome all kinds of people. The presence of an LGBT community in large numbers is an indicator of an underlying culture that is open-minded and diverse," end quote. But how representative of Pittsburgh's LGBTQ community is Pride Fest? And how do you go about organizing a large-scale festival such as Pride in a way that's inclusive for all aspects of the LGBTQ community and Pittsburgh as a whole? I'm joined in studio by Gary Van Horn. He's president of the Delta Foundation, which organizes Pride Fest. Gary, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Well, thank you. Also joining us is Sue Kerr, editor of Pittsburgh Lesbian Correspondence and LGBTQ blog. Good to have you back with us, Sue.
Thank you, Paul.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. You can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What kind of cultural impact do you think Pride Fest makes in Pittsburgh? Again, we'd like to hear from you, 412-246-2002. So I will toss this question up to either of you. What kind of a turnout are you expecting for Pride Fest this year?
Well, Pittsburgh Pride has grown over the last 7 or so years. This year, we're hoping for 100,000 people over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Last year, we had almost 85,000, so that's another 15,000. There's a ton going on in the city beyond the Pittsburgh Pride. You have the Arts Festival. You have the AFTA, the Americans for the Arts Conference, happening at the same time. And the new fountain just opened in downtown Pittsburgh. And I think there's a pirate game also that weekend. So there's a lot going on. So we're hoping for a great turnout.
And what kind of a financial impact are we talking about here?
You know, we worked with Visit Pittsburgh last year to do an intercept study, and we found out that 18% of the respondents come from further than 50 miles away. And last year, they estimated the impact of $12.8 million in the city. Interesting part about this year is our ticketed event with Adam Lambert on Saturday. We know at this point we have 34 states and 8 countries, including the furthest, Japan, coming to see him perform.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very interesting statistic.
Sue, how representative of Pittsburgh's LGBTQ community is Pride Fest?
Well, I would say that the events are very open to the entire community. And the way I would describe it is that having Pride and Pride in the Streets as sort of an umbrella creates a space for other types of events to take place during the month so that we can have Trans Pride and Black Pride. We have the Dyke and Trans March. We have lesbian events. And all of these take place because of Pride itself as both an event and just a concept that is fueled by the Delta Foundation. And we were talking outside about the fact that when you look at the performers at Pride in the Streets, that there's really been a diverse array of performers over the year that represent different parts of our community as well as the larger community. Some, you know, heterosexual performers have been there as well. And so I would say that overall, there is a lot of representation. And certainly, I think the best way to take a look at that is at the march itself. And I don't know how many folks are participating.
We don't actually have a number. We have 130 different organizations or contingents participating this year.
And it's a lot of different types of groups. And that's, I think, where you see Pittsburgh's diversity at its most crystal clear, is standing along the march route or the parade route and watching to see both who's in the parade and who's come to watch the parade. And I personally every year see a new group, someone that I had no idea existed, and I would consider myself pretty well informed of the different groups. And so Pride is a magnet that brings people out to downtown for that day or the 2-day period, and then they go back to where they're from. But hopefully, we've made connections at that point so that we can then continue to keep them connected with the larger community.
So you've seen this event grow, not just in terms of the size of the event and the amount of people participating, but in the diversity of participants And perhaps just in those who turn out as members of the community who simply want to be involved in something that is inclusive of so many others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I think what we've tried to do is really put the LGBT community in a positive light and make this event that everybody is welcome. In times in the past, and I'll egg on the media a little bit, but they focused on some of the extremes. You know, obviously we love our drag queens, and actually a lot of straight people like the drag queens and or the guy in leather. And we have extremes in every, I guess you could say, community. But what we've tried to do is the LGBT community is very vast, just like the heterosexual community is very vast. You have every shape, size, color, and interest in every in our community. And what we try to do is put a focus on that the LGBT community is your brothers, your sisters, your coworkers, your aunts, your uncles. And we're just like everybody else trying to be treated equally here in Western Pennsylvania.
And you mentioned, too, Gary, that you see more and more community leaders turning out for these events. Apparently, Bill Peduto has been there in the past and will be again. And as I understand it, for the first time, the chief of police is coming.
Yep, Chief McDonald's going to be joining us for the first time. You know,
and what does that signify?
Well, that signifies a lot for at least us. You know, it's great that she's there, but what does that signify to the community? I think it opens the door, for her to reach out to that community. And says the chief of police supports me and is the chief of police for all of the city of Pittsburgh, including the LGBT community. And further, you know, she runs a force of almost 900 or so officers, and it sends a message that she believes in equality and that she believes that we're here to protect and serve the whole community, including the LGBT community.
Sue, I'm wondering if we could, just for people who are listening in who get lost in the alphabet soup, the acronym, LGBTQ, take us through it.
Okay. Well, we have a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and then Q is used alternately for either queer or questioning. And you know, queer at one point was considered a slur. And some people still
have a derogatory term.
But actually, there's a whole academic discipline around queer studies. I mean, it really has a lot of legitimacy now. And you'll see that in the younger community, people embrace that term because they don't fit neatly into the L, the B, the G, or the T. What's important, I think, is that people, we use gay as shorthand. And that's okay to some extent. I mean, as I always say, I'm fluent in that, to have a conversation with people. But it's important to remember that especially bisexual and transgender folks in our community don't have a lot of visibility even within our community. That's why I think it's good to use LGBT, GLBT, LGBTQ. We could go on and on because there's about four other letters that we haven't touched on. But, you know, we want to be reasonable and send a message that they are welcome and part of what we're trying to do and want it. And in fact, many of the individuals involved in the organizing are part either bisexual, transgender, or both. Yeah.
One letter that we didn't include that too is the allies, which is our big part. You probably GLBTQA. The A is very important, and that's actually probably how Pittsburgh Pride is growing because there's a lot of allies coming down and enjoying the festivities that are happening that weekend. So
it happens to all of us here on the radio. We're talking with Gary Van Horn, president of the Delta Foundation, which organizes Pride Fest coming up this weekend in Pittsburgh, and also Sue Kerr, editor of Pittsburgh Lesbian Correspondence. Gary, it would seem to be a daunting task organizing this ever-growing event. How do you go about putting it together in a way that's inclusive for all aspects of the LGBTQ and A community?
Well, I can tell you it's not an easy task because I can tell you there's a lot of different ideas about what Pittsburgh Pride is and should be. And beyond that, you know, we can't be everything for everybody. So we try to focus on some of the higher ideas and put them together. We had actually, when we took over Pride 6 years ago, we actually had a community meeting. There were 250 folks that showed up for that. And we heard everything, that people wanted this, that people wanted that. They wanted it to grow. They wanted this. We meet throughout the year. I mean, Pittsburgh Pride 2014 starts planning in 2 weeks in July. We meet. I know that there's two different contingencies of groups that were interested in meeting with us and talking about some ideas of working together. So, you know, Pittsburgh Pride is done by 95% volunteers. The foundation has a half-time employee right now who's going to be full-time July 1, and we're hiring another person. But you have over 350 volunteers that donate a lot of their time to this cause and work really, really hard and will be really, really tired on Monday morning after it's all done. And obviously, we couldn't do that without their support.
Are the parades and the concerts meant to make a political statement about where we stand as far as LGBTQ rights go, or to simply highlight the LGBTQ presence in Pittsburgh?
I would probably answer that with yes. They're probably supposed to do both. And I think it's very impactful when I hear politicians that come to the events every single year and say, wow, there's a lot of people here. And, you know, that just by having that many people there, it's a political statement that they're there to support. And you continuously see different people. Last year, our district attorney, Steve Zappala, attended the Pride in the Street with Melissa Etheridge. Had a phenomenal time, and his question was, how do you keep all these people safe, and how many arrests do you have? As a typical person that's in that law enforcement would say, and interesting, we've had one arrest in 7 years. So and he was amazed by that, but had a great time with him and his wife and his son, and is actually coming back this year to see Adam. So,
Sue Kerr, is a presence enough of a political statement, in your opinion?
Yes, it's a good starting point, and it's important. One thing about being part of the LGBTQ community, boy, that's hard to get out there.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
that just living is a political statement, and especially the more out that you are. So the folks at Pride Fest, not everybody is part of the community. A lot of them are allies, or that's how they are connected to the community. But they could be perceived as gay, and they're okay with that. And that's important. But it's also the fact that people come down and sometimes take a risk by being out, because not everybody lives in a place where they're safe or is comfortable that they can be out at work or with their family. And I do think that the number of people does have an impact on our elected officials. But you also have to think about the fact that people are signing postcards and letters, that all the vendors are there, the Human Rights Campaign, Steel City Stonewall, other organizations. They're getting connected and hopefully taking people's energy and transitioning it into something that will last beyond Pride. And some people go back to their life and come back for Pride the next year, and that's fine. But other people, I believe, get connected and get involved. One of the really sad things is that we don't have any more rights now than we did when Pride started in Pennsylvania.
So there's still plenty to work on.
Yes.
that needs to be done. And I wish we had more time, but we are, in fact, out of time. But I want to thank Gary Van Horn, president of the Delta Foundation, which organizes Pride Fest, and Sue Kerr, editor of the Pittsburgh Lesbian Correspondence LGBTQ blog. Thank you both for being with us.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Coming up, summer grilling tips, and contributor Elaine LaBaume suggests modes of travel. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.